preaching through the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, when He taught us to pray, said, "Pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." And the next phrase He used was, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." But turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah 9. We sang the song, "Count Your Many Blessings." I'd rather lose count counting my blessings than lose my blessings while counting my troubles. Before we read Isaiah, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we're so grateful for the day. And Lord, I praise You for those who had it in their heart this morning to be in the house of God. Thank You for each home. Thank You for each individual. Thank You so much for this season when we can take a little time off from work and have a holiday and have a Thanksgiving time when we get together as families and feast. And Lord, we ought to be thankful people every day. But Lord, as we come into this season, Father, let us just bow in humility and gratitude and say thank You. Thank You, Lord, for all of our blessings, for the Word of God, for this church, for our home folks, for the blessing that we feel, for the unity of the Spirit, for bringing us together in this way this morning, for our freedom. Lord, we could go on and on. Thank You so much. Bless the reading and the studying of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're preaching on Thy Kingdom Come. Jesus said that's how we should pray. That is the first thing we ask for in this prayer. The astronaut James Irwin stood on the lunar surface of the moon, one of the few astronauts who's ever walked on the moon, and he looked back at planet Earth, and as he looked back, he thought of all the national strife in the world. He thought of the hunger. He thought of the rampant evil. He thought of all the ills of planet Earth, and it was the first time in his life that he had ever prayed. And as he prayed, he thought to himself, what is more important than a man standing on the lunar surface is that God would condescend to Earth. And that's what we pray when we're praying, Thy kingdom come. Lord Jesus, we're looking for You to come back to planet Earth. And you can rest assured this morning that the Lord Jesus will come again. This is a heartfelt desire for the righteousness of the Godhead to rule on planet Earth. I want to tell you something this morning. Listen carefully. If you want to know how to gauge your spiritual condition, you can gauge it with two real simple tools. Your spiritual condition can be gauged on how much you pray and talk to the Father, number one. But number two, you can gauge it by how much you desire to see the Lord come again. I would dare say that most Christians are not praying the biblical prayer, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." When you can pray that prayer and mean it in your heart, that means you have a spiritual fervor to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to see His government rule over the governments of this world. The problem is most of us are so entwined and entangled in the affairs of this life, we could care less about the kingdom of God. Prayer begins with God and His kingdom. It is a foundation of prayer to realize that the chief end of man is to glorify God. Jesus said, when you pray, "Pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Those things will glorify Him. Those things set Him upon His throne. But the first request that we should make is, "Lord, Your kingdom come." Before we pray for anything else, before we ask for supplications, before we ask for our health or our wealth, before we ask for those on our prayer list, we're to pray, "Lord, come again. Let Your kingdom come into planet Earth." Wow. I dare say that most of us do not pray that way. I know I don't. I've learned something. I'm to pray, the first thing I'm to ask for is the Lord Jesus to come back again. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And He is. What kingdom are we talking about? The first request in this prayer is to see the kingdom of God. Let's read Isaiah 9:6-7. Isaiah 9:6-7. I know these are Christmas verses on Thanksgiving, but watch verse 7. Watch, let's read it 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, praise God, shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from his force even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thank God. You say, Pastor, as we pray for the Lord to come and for his kingdom to come back, what do we do? Well, Solomon said this. His last words were, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For, listen carefully, this is the whole duty of man. While we wait for His kingdom, while we wait for His coming, we're to fear Him and keep His commandments. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, we are praying, Lord, first expand Your kingdom in my heart. Expand Your kingdom in my heart. Secondly, we look forward to the time when He'll establish His earthly kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God, don't miss this morning. Many people get off on the wrong track. The kingdom of God is in two parts this morning. One, it lives in our hearts. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within you. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you and wash you in His blood, the King comes into your heart through His Spirit, sets up His throne on your heart. That is a spiritual kingdom. There is this morning a spiritual kingdom, but there is a coming kingdom that's going to be physical, and the Lord Jesus Christ will bring together a culmination of the physical and the spiritual, and He will reign on His Father David's throne. Physically. And that's why God, friend, I don't care what the President or the Congress does, God has got His eyes on the nation of Israel. That's where the throne is going to be. Listen. The Muslims believe this morning that you can speed up the coming of the end of the world. And they believe they can bring in the 12th Imam to end the world. They're looking for their Messiah, who is the 12th Imam. And they believe they can speed that up by causing chaos in the world. That's why they're known as terrorists. They believe they can cause enough chaos and their Messiah will come. Church, I'm going to tell you something. There's not one thing you can do to speed up the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one thing. You can't go out and do anything physical and bring in His physical kingdom. For the Bible says, He that cometh will come and will not tarry. He's coming on God's timetable, irregardless of the condition of the church, irregardless of the condition of the world. He's coming on God's timetable. Just as sure as He came the first time, He'll come again. Listen, the world does not deny His first coming. We're heading into the Christmas season, and the world does not deny that He came the first time, because He came as a shepherd. He came as a baby. He came in a cradle. But the world denies He's coming again. And I'm going to tell you something. They may scoff, they may mock, they may ridicule, but it will not prevent His coming again. He is coming. The world questions Him as king. There's no difference in Pilate who asked, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered him and said, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." He calls today. His voice goes out as a loving shepherd, as a Christ who died on the cross. His blood was shed. He's calling out in truth. He's calling out in love. But one day, this Savior will become the sovereign, and He'll be calling out in judgment. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today's the day to get our hearts right with God and live for God the days of our lives. Jesus did not fit the popular notion that Pilate had of a king. Pilate had a notion of a political person in power. Pilate had a notion, but Jesus walked in as a noble person, as a person who loved others, as a person who listened. Try to get an audience with a king today. Try to get an audience with the president. Try to get an audience with your senator today. But I'm going to tell you something. The noble Jesus, the loving, kind Jesus, listens to His people when they pray. There's no other king like it. There's no other kingdom that's going to come that's like the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then would my subjects fight." One day, remember, there's a spiritual kingdom, there's a physical kingdom, and when these culminate into one, His subjects will fight. For the armies of heaven will come back on white horses. If you don't believe that, read the Revelation and find out what happens when His servants finally rise to fight. The world is not going to like it. And the world has never seen a military like it's going to be when Jesus Christ returns from heaven on a white horse. And out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. And He has on His vesture a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Boy, oh boy. The Bible says that war will end with the blood running to the horses' reins. Let's move on. The word kingdom appears in the Word of God 120 times in the Gospels alone. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." He said to seek first the kingdom of God. We're to live our lives with that kingdom in mind, that we know it's coming. We know it lives in our hearts now. But we're to live with the values of the kingdom now. Get it down. We're to live with the values of that kingdom now. That's what we mean when we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Let it come into my heart first. Let it expand into my heart first. And then let your heart come. Jesus said that the kingdom is like tares and wheat that grow up together. Right now we're growing up together with tares and wheat. But one day, listen, Jesus is going to come. The Bible said the angels are going to stick in their sickles in the four corners of the earth, and they're going to reap, and the tares are going to be separated from the wheat. What are you talking about, preacher? The wheat is the good seed of the Word of God. The tares are what the enemy has sown. Hey, let me ask you a question. Are you sitting in this church this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Or has somebody slipped you a counterfeit? And are you a tare growing up? You have not the kingdom within you. You have not the Spirit of God within you. Maybe you have a religious outlook. Maybe you have a religious display, but nothing lives within your heart, friend. If that's the case, you are a tare, and you will be plucked up by the judge of all the earth. And the Bible says the judge of all the earth shall do right. You'll be judged if you're a tare. The Bible says to be put in the fire that will not be quenched. The kingdom of God was preached by John the Baptist, who was His royal harbinger. The word harbinger is an antiquated term that means that when a king in olden time would come to a city, they didn't have modern means of communication and media means, and a harbinger would ride into the city and he would proclaim, like Paul the Revere, he would proclaim, "The king is coming, the king is coming." John the Baptist was a royal harbinger of the King, Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you and I today are to be a harbinger, and we're to have the same message. Listen, the kingdom is coming. The physical kingdom of the Christ is coming to this earth, and we're to have the same message as John the Baptist. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's ready to come again. But be sure, the only way you can gain entrance into that kingdom is having repented of all of your sin. We've been chosen to witness for the King. We're harbingers of that message. Thy kingdom come is a call for us to do what we can to expand His kingdom here. Jesus said, go ye into all the earth and preach the gospel to every creature. What are you doing and what am I doing to expand now His kingdom? I'm not saying that we go out in the militia form. Don't miss it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and princes of darkness and they that rule this world. We wrestle principles. We fight a spiritual warfare. But what are you doing? What am I doing that we forward the kingdom of God during this age? Are we preaching the gospel to every creature? I always thought that was a strange verse, to preach to every creature. Brother Billy Kelly said that he didn't want to preach. The Lord called him to preach and he didn't want to, and he fought it so hard. Finally, one day he was out in the bushes praying, and he finally just threw up his hands and surrendered to God to preach. And he said such a load was lifted off him. He said, as I left out of the bushes, he said, I shook hands with the bushes. And he said, I got back to the barn, and he said, there wasn't nothing in the barn but an old mule. And he said, the best message I ever preached was to that old mule. When the Bible tells us to preach to every creature, it means His creation. It means the men and women who are available to hear the Word of the living God. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. The values of the kingdom, Paul described these values as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you live for the kingdom, spiritually, when your life is pure, when Christ sits upon the throne of your heart, you can enjoy the values of that kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So often we seek for peace, and we can't find it. We seek for satisfaction, and we can't find it. When all those things can be found by applying the principles of the kingdom, and here's the rule book, folks, and then in reaping the benefits of living for the King. Do you have the power of God to live a life that's pleasing unto God? If the King lives on the throne of your heart, you do. This world is headed, and we study on Wednesday nights, this world is headed for a world leader who's going to rule the globe, universal leader. I got news for you, friend. This world's going to make the wrong choice. They're going to choose a man who's known in the Word of God as the Antichrist. And God's already chosen a man to rule this earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to love Him. Listen. The world makes the wrong choice and puts the wrong leader in. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Daniel prophesied as he watched in his day, world kingdoms rise and world kingdoms fall. A new kingdom would arise, another kingdom would fall. And as Daniel watched the world stage being performed in front of him, God gave him a prophecy, and he said, there's a stone that's coming down as cut out without hands, and it's going to come to the earth, and it's going to crush the kingdoms of the earth, and it's going to become a mighty mountain known as the mountain of the Lord. God is concerned about government. God is concerned about individuals. And one day, individuals and nations will flow into the mountain of God. History is His story. By the way, history will be convened with Him ruling and reigning on planet Earth. You better believe it. You better live for it. You better place those values in your heart. Now, what we see with government today is a distorting of justice. We see crime. We see all the injustices of man. We see the innocent punished. We yearn for the government of our God. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, that the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Friend, I long for a day when I can rejoice in a righteous leader and a man who sits on the throne of the whole world who does right by everybody. Thank God for that day when we can pray and ring it in their heart, Thy kingdom come. Today we see disharmony in families. We see broken relationships. We see pain. We see the moral fibers of our family and our families being broken down. We see unkept promises. We see shattered lives. That makes me want to pray even more. Our God, Thy kingdom come. Listen to Galatians 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is what breaks these relationships. The works of the flesh go against the works of the Spirit. The works of the world go against the works of His kingdom. Galatians 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. By the way, that means letting things play out in your mind. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, Paul says, and as I've told you in times past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, that means we're placing ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, when we pray it, makes us a prophet. For we do not see His kingdom ruling and reigning today, but we're saying, Thy kingdom come. We're saying we're making ourselves prophets and saying that kingdom will come. Thy kingdom come is a prayer of protest as we protest against the world that says, I will not live an ungodly lifestyle. I will not practice sin in my life. I will not let Hollywood or the United States government dictate my morals. I will live for the morals of the kingdom of heaven. Makes us a prophet. Gives us a prayer of protest. It gives us a battle cry. Thy kingdom come is a battle cry. Listen, if you don't think there's another kingdom in this world, you better believe there is, and it's known as the kingdom of darkness. I'm glad to tell you this morning, when I preach on the radio, we call it the armor of light. Hey, Christian, put you on. The Bible says to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You are a warrior in a spiritual war, and we're to put on the armor of light and cast off these works of darkness. Don't live your life living for the king of this world and the king of darkness that will destroy you. The kingdom come is a prayer of protest. Now, kingdom come is a battle cry. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I've already quoted that, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a prayer of submission. To say, Lord, Your kingdom come. We'll look at it next week. Thy will be done. It has to be a prayer of submission. Realizing that His authority goes beyond our authority. Realizing that His authority goes beyond the authority of this world. Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. This is not only a prayer of submission, it's a comforting prayer. There's another culture. There's another world. The other world does not have the wicked values of this world. I pray this morning, and I raise both hands, and I'm serious when I pray this, Lord, Thy kingdom come. Why is it, as I wind the message down, Why is it when life is going good that we fail to pray, Thy kingdom come? I mean, as long as we feel comfortable in our bank account, as long as we feel comfortable in our lives, we don't pray, Lord, Your kingdom come. We're so focused on our comforts today. But when life goes a little awry, sickness comes in, death comes in, pain comes in, injustice moves into our life and into our country, then all of a sudden, we lift up our focus a little bit, don't we? We say, well, I just wish the Lord would come. I just wish the Lord would come. I'm so troubled. I'm so perplexed. I feel so much pain. There's so many questions and so few answers. I just wish the Lord would come. God, help us to maintain that attitude. When one day the secular will give way to the secular, when the world will give way to the Word. Listen to what the Bible says. And the seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. It is a comforting prayer to know that He is still in control. And Isaiah said when He comes that the earth shall be full of His knowledge and glory as waters that cover the sea. I hope you can pray with me this morning. Thy kingdom come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.